Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally. This is episode number 47. I've got a double feature here for you today. I know you guys always enjoy that. For starters, we're going to speak with Rafid Jamal. He is a national-level Canadian bodybuilder. And what I found to be really interesting about Rafid is that, he had a great dominant upper body, but he lacked legs. And that's a story that I think a lot of us can relate to. You know, I've worked to bring my legs up for basically the last half of the decade. And it's a lot of work. It's not easy. Everybody has their own formula. Works differently for everybody. But Rafid found a formula that worked for him. And it worked to the point that looking at his physique, I would say that legs are possibly one of his most dominant body parts now. And I thought that was really cool. And so I like to talk to a lot of different people and get different perspectives. And, you know, we get to hear all sorts of cool stuff about training from some really amazing bodybuilders. I mean, Jordan Peters and Scott Stevenson lay all sorts of cool stuff on us every week. You know, last week we got to hear from James Hollingshead on how he trains legs. And today we're going to speak to Rafid. So I'm excited to get one more perspective on something that has worked for him. And hopefully you guys can take little pieces from each of these stories and hopefully put them together and complete the puzzle that is your physique. After that, we're going to speak with Adam Lamb, the owner of Size Slim, a supplement company. I've known Adam since back when he was competing on the MPC circuit. And Adam had a vision, and he had a desire, and he had the willingness to put the work in to grow a small business into a large international organization. So I think it's really awesome to see what Adam has done and to see what he's gone through and to see what he's learned through this process. Guys, I hope that you are enjoying your week. I hope that your training, your cardio, your nutrition is all on point. Let's get to the show. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me today is Rafid Jamal. He is a Canadian national level bodybuilder, and something that was very interesting about him, he has a really killer upper body and awesome legs. I almost feel like his legs are his strongest point now, but that said, as we got talking, I learned that legs were not always his strongest feature. And so I thought it'd be interesting to bring him on today. I know legs are something that a lot of us struggle to bring up, and that Rafid might be able to give us some insight. So Rafid, thank you for being here with me. I really appreciate it, man.
No, thank you, Scott. Thank you for having me here. Hi, everybody.
So you do, man. You got some killer legs. I will, when we post this show, I'll be sure to put a picture in that shows your progress that you've made. Legs for you were not a dominant feature when you began training, right?
No, legs has always been my weakest point at the beginning of my bodybuilding career. I still remember, like, when I first started my first show, I got really good compliments winning the overall, but even the judges told me, like, your upper body is still dominant. You have all the line separation, good sweeps on the leg, but still you need that size. So, then I kept on working, you know?
So how long has it taken to get your legs where they are today?
Each shows right after the Ottawa's, the regionals that I did. Uh-huh. After that, like each, I've done provincials, which was about 7 months after, and the nationals, which was about a good year after that. Focus was, you know what, adding more mass, overall mass, but more towards the legs and towards the back. Back has been my dominant from the get-go. Like my back was spot on in my class, overalls, everywhere. But the legs were I was lacking. So what basically we did, we every off season, we would have two leg days a week. And those 2 days would be our high carb days. We will have extra calories, cleaner calories. The days we will do heavy compound movements like squats, stiff deads, front squats, heavy leg presses. We'll add up a sushi refeed day and just have more food so that we can grow.
Interesting. So tell me about your training then. You know, it sounds like you, you've used a lot of the big basic compound style movements. Are squats one of your key elements to your leg training?
Yes. For compound movement, as bodybuilding, like you need to lift heavy to get the thickness, that's for sure. But I always like to play around with the weights, with the tempos, with how am I doing with it, like putting more blood into it. Maybe like go heavy, go to my 3-rep max, then drop down, do pause sets, do even like if my knees are getting sore, I would definitely try not to wrap it all the time. I will use knee sleeves because I feel like it keeps more compact. And I feel my joints are warmer too. It's less beating on the joints. I would do box squats. I'll just like play around with it so that like I can hit it from different angle, like close feet, change my stance. That's what worked the most for me doing doing the nationals. I did that. I also added some CC squats too. Hmm. Not too heavy, but I just feel like it hits your teardrops really well.
Hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So 3-rep max. I mean, that sounds like you're dipping down into some pretty low reps there at times, huh?
Mm-hmm. I would go 3 reps, then I'll drop down the weight and do like a drop set.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. All in one set, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So what rep ranges do you feel have worked for you at the higher end? What's the opposite end of the spectrum for high reps?
For high reps, I'll always go with nothing less than 15. Conditioning has never been an issue for me, but that's why I always feel like adding higher reps and drop sets was always my key to get all the lines. But for size, I need to lift that heavy and put more blood.
And overall, leg day. Now you've got two leg days. How long does a leg day take you to get through from start to finish?
I would say so somewhere about an hour, 30 minutes to an hour, 45 minutes, depending on my cardio. So during the prep, I would do like a post-workout cardio, just about 20 minutes. But on leg days, I wouldn't do any cardio.
Yeah, no, I do the same thing. If I have to do cardio on leg day, I make sure I do that in the morning so I don't have to do it after training.
In the morning, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, for just out of curiosity, you're in great condition too, you know, not just your legs. Just wondering, what's your cardio look like when you're getting ready for a show? Do you have to take it real high?
I start what we started for our nationals prep and provincials too. We always start an early prep. My coach is always on me, even on off season too. I sent my progress picture to him today, showing that how much I'm weighing and how am I looking and stuff.
Yeah.
Usually, what he likes to do to me, he'll always like start up we'll ease into our prep 20 weeks out. Like we'll just start to introduce everything, 20 minutes cardio every other day, but we'll ramp it up as we go closer to the show. About 14 weeks out, we started doing 30 minutes of stairs every other day. Mm. About 10 weeks out, we started doing fasted bike every day. I had a bike that time in my house, a folded bike, and it was easy. So he told me to do like, do 35 to 40 minutes fasted every day. And from then we'll ramp it up. So 6 weeks out, we started stairs 45 minutes every day in the morning and post-workout cardio 20 minutes on the treadmill.
Okay. So no more than an hour at your peak. It doesn't sound like it's too much, especially considering the condition you get into. You mentioned your coach. Do you want to mention to us who he is?
His name is Joe Seaman. He's a fusion athlete. He's actually competing at the North Americans. I want to give him a shout out.
Nice.
He's the 4 weeks out, Joe Seaman. He's looking amazing. He's doing the super heavy weights. He actually didn't do nationals this year for me because he wanted to focus on me. And now he's doing North Americans. And next up is planning on doing Wieders Cup as well.
Ah, that's really cool, man. So, you know, back to your training then, you're training legs two times a week. Is there a difference in your two leg workouts, or do you repeat the same thing?
There is a difference. One day I would do more ham focused, but I'll still do more hamstring focused, but I'll still do one or two quad exercises just to keep more blood in them. But usually, like, I'll take on Wednesday is my first leg workout, which will be more hamstring focused. I'll do two to three quad exercises, and the rest is all hamstrings, more sets, more reps. On Sunday, I do another leg day, which would be more more quad focused. Like, I'll do squats, front squats, hack squats. Focus more on the presses, more on the outer quads, inner quads.
So today is Sunday. That means it's your more intense leg day. Have you trained legs yet?
I haven't, but I'm excited to, and I'm excited looking for the sushi after too.
Nice. So how many meals do you usually get in you before you go to train legs?
I try to get about three meals. Meal one, meal two, meal three, and then I'm good to go. I feel like anything less than three meals, I don't get like the exact drive and the pump.
No, I totally hear you. I'm exactly the same way. That's what I like to do too. Get about three meals in me. Now you said too that, you know, you do the sushi or, you know, some type of a larger refeed on your leg days. Yeah. Do you also increase the rest of the carbs, or is that the same?
We increase the rest of the carbs. Yes. Every meal will have carbs in them, and will be at, I would say, except pre-workout and post-workout meal, which will have about like 12 ounces of rice. All of them are around 8 to 9 ounces of rice or sweet potatoes.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So how many carbs do you figure you have in you on an average leg day before you actually step in the gym?
I'm pretty bad about grams, but okay. I can say even ounces. So I'll have, like, in the morning, I'll have 100 grams of oats with egg whites and eggs. Then I'll have, that's my meal one. Then meal two would be something red meat. I want, like, some fat. So it will be ground beef and 8 ounces of 9 ounces of sweet potatoes.
Okay.
And my pre-workout meal would be 12. It will be a big one, like 12 ounces of rice with 6 ounces of steak.
Okay. And do you do any type of an intra workout carb, or you just drink water through the workout?
For now, I'm just doing like half a scoop of Vitargo, which has about 20 grams of carbs.
Okay.
I do it throughout my every workout, and 10 grams of BCAAs and some glutamine.
Okay. So, you know, one thing I've noticed with some of my clients, that if they eat a very large meal pre-workout, they need more time to digest it. Just out of curiosity, how much time do you need after that third big meal before you actually start training?
I would say so half an hour to an hour.
Oh, so you're fast. You digest food fast then, huh?
I know. It's still like, I feel like after the last show, my I still have a fast metabolism, because every time I'm eating, I'm digesting. I can like hear it's just like coming out right away, barfing it out right away. So it's going to the right direction.
Man, that's awesome though. So, you know, what are your goals now? Are you still trying to bring legs up, or do you feel that they are where you want them at this point?
My main focus right now is to jump up my weight class, because the only reason, like the judges told me that, I weighed in at 174.5. I made light middleweight by 0.5 pounds.
Okay.
And I was full as a house. When I got weighed in, one of the judges who checked out the weight, he looked at me. He thought that the machine was off. He literally thought, he made me step on it again and looks at me and says, "Man, you are a big light middleweight." I'm like, "Thank you."
We don't have that class here in the U.S. I haven't heard of light middleweight before. We just go, you know, from, you know, welter, light middle to light heavy. So light middleweight, where does that top out at?
It's top out at 175 pounds.
Oh wow! Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And then from I assume after light middleweight is middleweight. Where does that top out at?
It tops out at 187.
Oh man, I like that better, because I feel like the jump in our classes in the U.S. from 155, I think, to 176. You know, being a middleweight at 176, the jump from there to 199 is a big jump. You know,
it's a big jump. Yeah, No, that's definitely, that's like, yeah, that's 20 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a yeah. tough 20 pounds if you've already fought yeah. to get to middleweight, you know?
Exactly. For us, like me, I'm short. I'm 5'6".
Okay.
So for us, like short, stocky guys, if we want to bring that up, it's definitely a lot of work.
You know, you're short. I would not call you stocky, though, because I feel like you have a very tapered waist, very small joints. And I feel like, to me, and probably to the judge that made that comment, too, I think that that's part of it. You've got a really nice illusion going on with, you know, the size of your muscle to the size of your frame.
Yeah, definitely. Having small joints definitely come in play. Just makes you look more rounder, more bigger on stage compared to other people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So on your leg focus, you know, you said you were really working on your quads. Something I've been interested in this past year or so is not only the sweep, but the inside of my quad too, and you know, bringing up that inner thigh thickness and the adductors. Is that anything that you've yeah. focused on directly?
Yes, I do. That's on my hammy days. I always focus on when I, because hammy days is more like an accessory work too. Like you want to create more details, more thickness on the areas where other people are lacking, you are not.
Yeah.
So when you're doing that front relax, I want to, like, my main focus is to show them all the details. It's like I'm representing myself, but there's something more in me that I can show. That's what gives you that X factor when you want to do a show, right?
Interesting.
That's what I always think, like coming in 3D, coming in more complete, not more big. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds, you sound like an artist to me, the way you're putting this together. You do?
No, definitely.
Now, for your ham work, do you do anything specific for glutes as well? Or do you feel that glutes get targeted just through all of this ham work?
No, with legs, my glutes has been weak too. So this year I've definitely working on my glutes. I get all the lines in glutes. They just need a little bit more size. So I started doing kickbacks and hip thrusters from my last year's prep. I've still been keep doing it on my hammy days. So it's hammies and glutes. I focus on Wednesday. I'll start up with my just warm up with ham curls, then go to single leg ham curl, then do stiff leg deadlifts, then move into wide leg press to focus more on my hammies, and then slowly go into the abductors, and then slowly move to ham glutes, like end up with drop sets on hip thrusters and kickbacks.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that do you feel that those things have played a role in bringing the glutes up? Have you seen a difference that you would attribute to those exercises, I assume?
Yes, I definitely seen they have been very helpful from like bringing up my glutes and hammies from my Ontario's, which is the provincials, to the nationals. Like my back created more, from the back I look more complete from top to bottom. But definitely looking forward to make more improvements so that next nationals 2018, I'm planning on doing next. My goal is to do next nationals and next maybe North Americans. Let's see how we do at the nationals and then that. But definitely aiming for my pro card.
Nice. So, you know, something I've noticed in my own life and then once again with people that I've worked with, when I have a weaker body part, those body parts tend to deflate faster. Legs, you know, obviously are no longer a weak body part for you. When you are carving up or, you know, when you are getting depleted, do your legs still tend to go more quickly than the rest of your upper body? Or do they hang now at this point? Have you noticed a difference in how fast they deplete?
For depleting, I can, when I get flat, closing to the show, I feel my legs, no, like for nationals, I feel my legs stayed fuller. I posted a picture on Instagram, if you see, where I was, my upper body was super flat. I was day 3 on my carb depletion, and my last leg workout, there was still blood in it. Even my leg looked fuller too. My coach said, no, your legs actually look fuller.
Wow.
As I started carbing up, I started carbing up on the plane because I was flying down to Edmonton. That's where the national was. It was about 6 hours flight. I started carbing up on the same day. And honestly, like each time I was about to like stand up, to go to the washroom, I was feeling just, am I getting fuller? Because I was wearing like a full sleeve shirt and it's getting tighter. I'm like, actually, I'm feeling good.
Nice. So it sounds like, you know, you overall have a very quick metabolism. I take it that when you're carving out for a show, you need a lot of food.
Yes. You know what? This time what happened? It's funny what I did is my coach, he's always very detailed. So he told me to have to carb up, have like a cup of oats or 3/4 cup of oats. I was just looking at online and I did a very rookie mistake. You're going to laugh at it.
Okay.
It was he told me to measure it before cooked, right? Uncooked.
Uh-oh.
I looked at the cooked one.
Oh.
So I looked at the cooked measurement, right? And and yeah, I consumed that much carbs, that much fibers, and you know what? Before shows, I would always like feel like in the Ontarios, I felt like I could have filled up a little more, but this time I was full. I made my weight class and I actually felt good.
Nice. So it worked to your advantage, I guess, huh?
Yeah, my body was soaking in carbs like no tomorrow.
That's awesome. So, you know, overall now, I assume, are you eating 6, 7, or 8 meals a day?
6 meals.
6 meals.
6 meals, yeah. Slowly upping the calories too as we are proceeding towards the off season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you said you were, was it 174 on stage, correct?
Yeah, 174.5.
And where are you at this point, and how far are we from the last show?
We just finished 5 weeks out. I am 5 weeks post show. I am about 197 pounds today morning fasted.
You broke up a little bit. You say 197?
170, yeah, 197 pounds today fasted in the morning.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's a really interesting note there, because a lot of times, especially when the newer guys think of, you know, weight and how that equates to them, they look at us guys that don't weigh quite as much, and they think to themselves, well, I weigh 174 or 175. I probably look a lot like this guy, but that's you totally, you know, dieted down, no water in your body, you know, and shredded to the absolute bone. So you're up in your 190s now, and I assume you probably still have some decent definition still.
Yeah, I try to hold as much conditioning as I can, just eating clean, keeping cardio off season. So that I feel like keeping cardio off season is good, so that that just allows us to eat more.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. So off season, how much cardio do you try to do? Because I assume there's a balance in there. You also probably don't want to burn your legs up.
No, 100%. I would do like every other day. Like Sundays, I don't work. The days I don't work early in the morning, I would just go do the cardio. I feel like doing like 20 minutes, 25 minutes fasted, even 30 on the stairs sometimes. I try to do 4 to 5 times a week.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So you and your coach, you guys really like that every other day cardio, it sounds like.
It kind of works just for, we'll slowly taper it down.
Okay.
Maybe next week when we start to stop all the supplements and everything and, go on like a off season plan, we'll taper it down to like 3 days a week.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of keeping a little bit in and at the same time, not, you know, if I'm getting fat, then I feel like I probably want to taper the food back versus add more. You know, we don't want to do too much in the off season. It sounds like you guys have that under control.
Yeah, we always look into that too. That definitely. Every week, weekly, when I send him my pictures, he always tells me like, okay, change this, change that. Yeah, and from there we just keep it going.
Right on. So you know, you're going into your off season now. Remind me, I know you said earlier, what's your the next show you're planning on doing, and how long do you have?
So we have from Canadian Nationals, we definitely have like a year, good year right now.
Okay.
So so the off season plan is to pack on as much size as we can from the back and the legs, mostly to the legs again, and yeah, just come in, jump up the weight class, because light middleweight, I was aiming towards middleweight this year to be, but I dieted down to light middleweight, and I was the top heavy of that class, right?
Right.
So this year, my coach is telling me, like, come, if you can, like, if everything goes well, you might be a top heavy middleweight. But I'm always like, you know, you always have high goals for yourself. I'm always aiming towards, like, coming to light heavy and like, be more dominant in that class. But like I said, it's always a work in progress, right?
Absolutely. And I think that that's a huge note to make. So, I mean, you're somebody who's been doing this a while. And, you know, we have people out there. I've talked to people who they do a show, they get feedback from the judges, and then they immediately want to start preparing for the next show. You're taking an entire year off. And I think it's important, especially for the newer guys, to pay attention to that and note that, you know, like you're saying, man, this is a continual, you know, process. We're not going to reach those things overnight.
No, exactly. Definitely. Even though like every new guy is coming in, I always tell them, don't jump from shows to shows. That's a bad idea. Judges want to see improvements, not how many times you're on stage.
Right.
Not how. Yeah. And exactly. Like, that's why I've every shows I've done, I've taken like near about a good 8 to 9 months off in between so that I can present themselves like, you know what? That's Rafid version 1. This is Rafid version 2. This is Rafid version 3. And Rafid's version 4 is going to be lights out for sure.
Right on. I like your attitude.
Thank you.
Tell me, you know, if you were to give some advice to these guys that are trying to grow their legs, you know, I mean, you've already kind of laid out some really good foundations and ideas that I think people can really take away some things for themselves. What would you say to those guys directly?
Definitely I'll tell them like compound movements are the key for any muscle growth. Like I would always tell them bench, deadlifts and squats are the key to add thickness in body parts. So for definitely squats, but I always tell them to do the proper technique deep down so that you can go it's as to grasp, but for sure like you're sitting on your on your hip when you're doing squats so that there's no pressure on your knee. Definitely before doing squats, work on your mobility, work on your stretching so that like you can actually do it at the perfect form. Then start playing with the weights. Slowly start going heavy, do drop sets, anything to change up the tempo and put more blood. Then same with the leg presses too. Work on your stance, close feet. Making a wide stance on leg presses just to hit different angles. That's what I feel like gives you that overall leg development. Playing with the stance and the rep ranges and volume.
Right on. And it sounds like figuring out what works for you, feeling these things out, and listening to your muscle, and you know working with in what you're responding to.
Exactly. Yeah. Very true.
So you had done really well here at Canadian Nationals. You said you took a straight 7 and the 6 and the 5 ended up getting their pro card. So you were very close.
I was. And that was my first to the Nationals too. Definitely I wasn't looking to get my pro card at my first trip for sure. So that allows me to winning my class, allows me to do, I'm a lifetime qualified for Canadian Nationals.
That's awesome.
So I don't have to do any provincials ever again. Winning my class at the provincials gave me 2 lifetime buy to do Nationals. All I needed was 1, and that's what happened.
Excellent. I that's so cool, man. I don't think we do anything like that here in the U.S. No, that's awesome, man.
Oh, that's No, I would definitely like if I'm looking forward to do 1 international shows come to the States, and man, North Americans is something looking very appealing to me. But see how it goes this off season and how what we are at during the prep.
Absolutely. And once again, give me a shout out here for your coach and what's he competing in here coming up.
Perfect. My coach, his name is Joe Simon. You can follow him on Instagram. It's Coach Little Joe, though he's not little. His name is Coach Little Joe. he has done Nationals last year as a super heavyweight. He took 5th. He has done Arnold's Classic as a super heavy. He took 5th over there as well. This time he's doing Canadian. He's doing North Americans. He's weighing in about 260 pounds, 262.
Nice.
But definitely shredded to the bone. And I'm interested to see what he brings this year because he's looking pretty ready. And he's doing the, because we have a pro qualifier over here too, which is the Weeders Legacy Cup.
Yeah.
Which is in October 21st. So it's shortly after, after the North Americans, because North Americans is in 4 weeks, and that will be like 6 weeks from there.
Nice.
And he's doing that as well. So both of them are on that show. There's two pro cards handing out each classes. He's doing that after the North Americans.
Awesome. And for anybody who wants to reach out or follow you, where can they find you, Rafid?
They can find me on Instagram. My Instagram name is r_jayfitness. On Facebook, they can find me. It's Rafid Jamal.
All right. That sounds awesome. And I'll tag you in the posts when the show comes out, so people will be able to just follow those links directly. Rafid, I really appreciate you taking the time, man, to share and educate everybody, here at Advices.
No, I really appreciate your time as well, man. And thank you for reaching out, too. Pleasure is all mine.
All right, guys, that's Rafid Jamal from Upping Canada. And up next, we're going to hear from Adam Lamb, the owner of the supplement company Size Slim.
Welcome to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me today is Adam Lamb. Adam is a supplement company owner of Size Slim. He's somebody that I've known for a long time. I've watched him evolve and grow, and it's been a really cool thing to see because he's a legitimate, what I would call, high-end business person in the bodybuilding world now. And it's like I said, it's awesome to see. And I wanted to bring him here to talk to you guys because, as I've mentioned before when we had Jantana on, I know there's a lot of interest from people about learning how to make a living somewhere in the industry of fitness and bodybuilding. I thought to myself, who better to bring on than somebody who's figured things out for himself? He's built a company from the ground up. He's supporting himself and his family, as well as a whole lot of other people. And I think he's having a really good time doing it. Adam, thanks for being with me, man.
Hey, Scott. It's a pleasure, as always, to talk with you. And thanks for having me on the show. I hope I can provide some value and information to your listeners.
Yeah. Well, we had you on Bodybuilding Nerds Radio where we spoke about HRT. What was the name of the company that you work with for HRT programs?
Yeah, so that's the company's New Era HRT Group. And okay. That's actually the first company I started. I love the industry. I love health and fitness. At the time, I was doing mortgages. I was a portfolio manager for Quicken Loans, which was a great job, and money was good. But it wasn't fulfilling because it wasn't where I wanted to be as far as like that space,
Yeah.
And that's actually back in 2012, I started the hormone replacement therapy clinic, partnered up with some doctors and started helping people. And so that was my first step into the fitness industry. And then so the supplement company was actually, Size Slim was kind of the second venture into the fitness industry.
Okay. And that's what I really wanted to focus on today was Size Slim. I saw you begin your company based here initially in Michigan. And, I started seeing that you were working with a lot of the athletes, that were competing in the area. And I saw, a lot of really cool local support from you guys. And I saw the name and the brand begin to grow from there. And when you first started out, you just had one product, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we had our, it's called a Size Slim Burner Energy. And we transitioned the name, same product because it worked. I mean, it's awesome. And it's a low stimulant fat burner. It's basically all natural, vegan, gluten free, non GMO.
Okay.
We just changed the name, though, to weight loss support. It just decided, and we'll talk a little bit of detail as far as thought process into some of those changes and things like that. And that's what we started with, the Burner Energy product.
Okay. Now, I one thing that I hear a lot when it comes to starting a supplement company is, listen, there are already so many companies out there that are, there's so much competition. When you started out, I'm sure that you probably heard things that were similar to this. I assume that you had to have it in your mind that you were going to do something unique and different.
Yeah. And I think that it goes even deeper than that. You know, we originally kind of started this conversation into starting a supplement company. You have to think about not only, you know, there is so much competition, right? And so you can either play like on the gray area, on the edge of the ingredients, or, you know, the higher doses of certain ingredients that are going to help from a performance standpoint. And so there's so many, but yet not that many ways to really be different. And, you know, you can all the way to shipping, right? Customer service, athletes. So there's so many different ways to do it. And beyond that, beyond the sports nutrition area, there's so many other ways to do it that aren't as glamorous and as sexy, and we don't see and hear about. You know, like I was saying to you earlier, there's thousands of supplement companies out there that do millions of dollars in revenue that you've never heard of. Because it's not as much from where we came from. You know, when we first got into Size Slim, I'll admit that I was like, I met my partner. He kind of had a vision with weight loss. He was working for Medtronic, and he was helping out dealing with doctors that dealt with bariatric surgery. And the doctors were just showing, he was seeing all these obese people throughout Latin America primarily. And so he was like, and he's also type 1 diabetic. And so he was trying to think of, he didn't know much about supplements or anything like that, but he, you know, he knew I did. And we talked a little bit about weight loss and how to have like a healthy, clean, safe approach to helping people do that. And that's where we, you know, got with some people and formulated the Burner Energy, which is now Weight Loss Support. And that was our goal, was to bring a weight loss product that helped people, that wasn't like, didn't scare you, right? It wasn't hardcore. It's not going to make you sweat and shake and things like that. So that's where we wanted to be different. But there's still a lot of those out there. We had a cool name, you know, Size Slim, that everybody, even in Latin America, really resonated with.
Yeah.
Term. So you have to kind of think through that part of the process. And I will admit, though, that, you know, that there's a saying that you should begin with the end in mind. And I think when we first started that, though, we were like, you think of some of the companies like Shred and, you know, the kind of bigger names, athletes all over their followers and Instagram. Like, you see all that. That's the sexy part of it.
Yeah.
It's actually really hard in a company. And it isn't very lucrative always. It can be. What I've seen throughout the industry, and, you know, I have a ton of friends with different companies in the industry, it can be costly. You know, I know a lot of people that don't do anything like that, that have super successful supplement companies, less headache. So, but you live and learn, you know, and I think so anyone going into the supplement space is like you said, figure out how you want to be different. Like, what's your mission? Is it a cleanest supplement? Is it the, you know, you have to really figure that out, how it's going to differentiate. Because when you start going after retailers and things like that, like, you got to be really different, really stand out, or have a massive marketing plan. Because that's
interesting.
That's kind of what some of it's geared to. Or you have a cool product that picks up, like on a, you know, I was saying earlier, in a place like Amazon. You know, a lot of people that do seven figures on Amazon, and you've never heard of them. They don't do anything. They just, you know, they manufacture a product that serves like one purpose. Maybe it's like a detox or some sort of digestive enzyme or something like that. They just have one thing, and no one's ever heard of it. It's on Amazon. It's just, you know, it sells well, and they make a lot of money, and they're happy, and there's no, you know, they may have a small Instagram or something like that, but it's not all the glitz and glamour that some of the other things we'll see with, you know, like Aaron Singerman's a friend of mine. He's got Redcon One, awesome company. They're growing and taking off. It's cool. You know, if I look at his company and even, you know, with Blackstone Labs and some of the things they did earlier with Prime Nutrition, just look cool. And that was kind of like right when we were getting into the game. And we're, you know, you kind of wonder, like, do I need all these athletes, all these cool photo shoots and stuff like that? And
yeah,
if that's what you want to make, yeah, you do. If that's not what you necessarily want to do, you know, and that's, like I said, going back to beginning with the end in mind, like, what do you really want to do? And so we've kind of changed a lot of the stuff at Size Slim with the process and what we're doing and identifying our ideal client, you know, who's going to go after our product and want our product. So,
and that's something that is interesting as far as, you know, companies that do function within the fitness industry, that you don't just cater to just us, just the athletes, just the bodybuilders. From what I see, that you're also kind of targeting everyday people as well by having a product that isn't super crazy, having a pre-workout that isn't going to, like, crack you out. You have something that, like, my mom could use, or I could use if I wanted to use it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like I said, there's that glitz and glamour when we first started. You know, we're like, we got this fat burner, and they're like, we need a pre-workout.
Okay.
We need a recovery. But, you know, for me, I was thinking that, you know, when I was in my 20s and stuff like that, I wasn't really into pre-workout. Was kind of new, and I was not so much into it. But I tried some, and I was like, some of the stuff scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
You know, like, where I'm like, I got to sit down. At the gym, I'm like, headphones off.
Yeah.
I got to, like, sit there, catch my breath. Because there was, like, too much caffeine and too much stimulant.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, there's no way. I want to make something that doesn't do this, but I still like to pump. You know what I mean? Like taking a pre-workout before you go to the gym and not taking one if you're used to taking one. It's just not as good of a workout.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And so, you know, we wanted to formulate, give you a little kick, not too much of a kick. And so, yeah, that was kind of our key differentiator with first when we came out with the pre-workout, and then the recovery. We wanted to do a little bit, you know, a little bit better in some areas and do some stuff. Like, remember, we used to have the NAC in there and other stuff that other people didn't have that were great ingredients, but people didn't appreciate them as much.
Yeah.
And I say that not bad, but in a sense of, like, guys like you understand what the ingredients are, you know, but the mainstream consumer doesn't. And so they look at price and things like that. So through that, you know, we morphed again and kind of changed our pre-workout and recovery because those are products I take every single day. And I love them. So we want to carry them and we think they're beneficial. So we switched to natural sweetener. So we do stevia. So we took all the sucralose out. I don't consume sucralose. I don't let my kids do it. So it was something that I was kind of passionate about with the product. So, and I realized that would be a differentiator too in the market because
absolutely,
let's say there's 5,000 pre-workouts. There might be 50 that are naturally flavored and probably 5 that are actually, like, pretty good. And so that allowed us to kind of narrow in a bit more on where we can be better and different. You know what I mean? You
could find the most,
you want to find the craziest, most hopped up, insane pre-workout. They're out there and there's a new one coming every day.
Yeah.
So we went in the other direction of just trying to go after more of that mainstream because we found out, you know, like a lot of my friends that I think they're health fitness, maybe even retired pro athletes that are in their, like, late 40s, early 50s. These guys don't want that stuff.
Yeah.
They want something that's cleaner, gives them a little kick. They don't mind spending the money. They see, they're like, yeah, it's $10 more than the other one, but, you know, the one that's got 400 milligrams of caffeine, because it's not for them. You know, it is for some other people. So, you know, trying to navigate through that. And that's why I say, you know, in starting a supplement company, like, sitting there and beginning with the end in mind. You know, if you're like, oh, I want to get into it so I can make tons of money and drive these cars and do these cool photo shoots, don't start something like company. You know, if you figure out, like, your laser beam purpose, and I remember a mentor of mine that said to me, he's like, what can you be the best in the world at in this space? You know, and it's realistically, it's tough to, you know, embrace being the best in the world at anything necessarily, but what he's really going after is what's your passion, what's your purpose in doing it, you know?
Yeah.
You start a supplement company because it looks cool, maybe you'll make some money, it can be really tough.
I want to take us all the way back to, you know, when you made this decision to start a supplement company. There's a lot of logistics that I think a lot of people don't understand logistics that I don't understand. And I'd like to get to all of them, all the way from actually formulating a product to having this product manufactured to the importance of, you know, the packaging. We all know how important packaging is to actually getting it on the shelves. But so you decided that you wanted to make a product. Where do you go from there to actually decide what to put in this thing and then get it assembled?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is figuring out what the purpose is. Like I said, if you want to have the all natural, do you want to have a high stimulant? Like, you'll figure out what you want to do with the product. Is it weight loss? Is it sports nutrition? Is it detox? Is it you have to figure out what it is you want to do first.
Mm, yeah,
and then research and find the right people to help put it together. So like for us, for example, I have a good friend who owns pharmacies, is a pharmacology doctor. He's on like the board for the state of Michigan on stuff. And he's very involved, very smart guy. So luckily he was a relationship of mine. I said, here's what I want to do. Help me formulate it. Hmm. And he did. And so we put that together, you know, also kind of went through with some other, you know, through my other company, I have a lot of really great connections to, doctors and all different, whether through physicians, MDs, DOs, a lot of chiropractors too, and a lot of those guys have just done the research. And so we kind of ran that through for a couple months to see what people thought, tested it, things like that. And everybody liked it. We didn't have any adverse issues, no stomach issues. It was all like plus across the board.
So you had to find a manufacturer at the same time, I take it, to you decided the things you wanted to put in it, and then you gave this to a manufacturer, and then they assembled it for you?
Correct.
Okay.
And there's a lot of contract manufacturers out there.
Hmm.
I think that making sure you're with a real high-quality, reputable one is important.
I bet.
To do it. In the beginning, though, when you're small and you're like, hey, I want to just do a 100-bottle run, I mean, you got to kind of know somebody or have a concept that someone really believes in that's going to help you out, because it's expensive to do, you know, small volume stuff like that. When you're trying stuff and sampling, and most places will sample and things like that. We have a fantastic manufacturer now. So you start that process, you check it out, things work. That's the smart way to do it. And then you kind of, in the meantime, you got label design going, and there's a lot of moving parts that all do have to communicate together.
I bet, yeah.
And then, you know, and you figure out what's your initial run, how you're going to come to market. You know, you got to put the marketing piece in play, get your imagery, website. You know, everything's got to be set up. And like I said, it really on a case by case is the only way to really advise on this, because like I said, you want to go like where I think someone like a Blackstone Labs, Prime Nutrition, that, you know, it's called almost 3 years ago, or 3 years ago. I mean, it was, they're everywhere. Yeah. Right? You see them everywhere. They're in the magazines. They're, you know, these guys are putting their faces on the wall of the Olympia. So like, you can do that kind of stuff. And Aaron and PJ had a big following too at the time. Yeah. Still do. And so when you're coming out in a certain way like that, it's a big marketing plan to come do it. You know, they're kind of make some big noise. And like I said, there's the other process is, like I said, there's a girl I know, she's got a detox product. She came out with it. I couldn't even tell you the name off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
But she makes a ton of money doing it. It's just one product that she sells on Amazon. So what she had to do and what some of the sports nutrition companies have to do, it's a totally different process.
Hmm.
But you got to ask, you know, where do you want to be in the end, you know? And so, but there's still, the simple parts of it, following the steps of getting a manufacturer and things like that. But before you come to market, you really want to got to know where you want to go.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that makes sense. So if it's sports nutrition, you know, kind of that's the space that I think that your listeners are in, you know, we can kind of stay in that space.
Sure.
To see, but that's the most competitive space. It's a hard space to come into.
Hmm.
And so once you get the manufacturer, you get your website going, then you have to, you worry about fulfillment. Some manufacturers out there, it's great to actually manufacture and fulfill.
Wow.
Which is smart. And it helps. I mean, we do that too, just from a relationship standpoint, from a pricing, it's kind of everything's all in one. For me, being a busy guy like most people are and having a few different ventures, it makes it easier. It's just less, it's less employees,
sure,
less stuff I have to take care of, you know? And so for me, like I said, like kind of figuring out where do I want to take my supplement company and what channel and how do I want to work that? And so like for that supplement there in house, with them works great. Cause it's all right there. You know, I got one guy to one or two guys to talk to, whether I'm ordering a new product, they're loading it into inventory, they're shipping it out where it needs to go. Right. And so it just leaves less variables. Some people, they have their own warehouse, their own shipping, things like that. And you can kind of look at, you know, time and money are two hand in hand things. So some people like that. They like to see their boxes in their warehouse and walk through it. I don't want to see that. I look at a report every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, laying out that stuff too, the logistics piece, and managing, you know, setting up customer service is super important. How are you managing, you know, how are you fielding calls? Is it through the email? Who's taking care of it? What's your turnaround time? You know, how do you address questions, issues, those kind of things?
And I almost feel, Adam, like that this is a separate business you're talking about now, because I mean, customer service is a kind of like it's an animal in itself. So you create this great product that you need to get to people. That's I feel like that's one obviously important element, but then actually getting it to them and being able to, you know, like you said, have things like timely shipping, having good customer support, all that stuff, man. I feel like that is a totally separate animal right there.
You got to think about all those things before you bring it out. Bringing the product out and seeing it's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But all the uncool stuff has to be done first.
So yeah.
That when you do the cool stuff, it actually can go without, you know, because you're going to get hurdles and you're going to stub your toe and get kicked in the face all the time and you're going to goof up. You're going to have, you know, you're going to run labels and there's going to be a spelling error. You're going to run labels and they're going to have something wrong. You're like, shit. Yeah. I mean, I bet you I've done $10,000 or $15,000 in label error.
Oh man.
Over 3 years of just, you know, just goofy, you know, like someone didn't look it over or they thought they did, or the two flavors were great, but the third flavor had an error on it, you know, just something dumb. And you're just like, you know, and you have to, because you want to make sure. That's one thing too I'll recommend, and I have a contact too for that, is having a good claims and label attorney. We have a great one. He does a lot of the stuff for bodybuilding.com. He's based out of Colorado.
Okay.
He's not cheap, but you know, you spend a few $100, maybe even a couple $1,000s in the beginning, and save yourself a massive lawsuit, or, you know, just you think things go great and you have 50,000 units out on shelves, and you find out that something's not compliant, you got to bring all that back.
Oh God.
Relabel it. I mean, imagine that. You're going to wish you spent a couple $1,000s.
Yeah.
So that's something too, that's very important. And I would tell you almost nobody does it.
Really?
I shouldn't say nobody. In the big picture, there's a lot of small companies that don't do that stuff.
Okay.
And I can go into supplement source. I'll go in just to see what's out there and see what, I can look at labels just, you know, cause I know what things have to be on there and they're just not there. They're not wrong, but they're sliding by. And that's okay. Maybe it catches up to them. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I'm a proactive guy. Everything from, you know, the quality of our manufacturer, the quality of our ingredients. I rest better knowing that I've checked all those boxes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meticulous with those things. Because like I said, and I'll say it probably 100 more times, is beginning with the end in mind is so important. Because if you don't think about the thing that can derail you, it's going to happen when you're pumping. You know what I mean? When things are going great,
that's when the
track's going to break and you're going to have a shit storm to clean up. So
it sounds like a nightmare if something like that goes wrong, especially if everything's out on the shelves already. You find out there's some error or something that needs to be changed. Oh man, it, like you said, you know, it sounds glamorous from the surface, just like, you know, I do a lot of nutritional coaching, and there are so many people out there that say like, oh, that's so cool, I want to be a coach. And it's a lot of fun on the surface, but you get into it, man. And you know, you can lose some sleep if you're not careful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm the type of personality that I'd like everyone to be happy, even though I'm unrealistic, and I do the best I can, and I will, you know, I'll sacrifice my sleep, my time to make sure that other things get done and other people are happy and go that extra mile for people. I just like to do it, and it's helped. I'll tell you, that is the way to live, is to make those positive deposits everywhere. The return eventually is good. But yeah, exactly. It can be high stress, and that's why, like, thinking through all those little things, because my partner Matt and I, we both laugh. We'll say, man, we've done everything wrong at some point, right? It's just, we have. It's, you know, we even talked about how fast we could bring, you know, because now we've had some people approach us to help them bring some great concepts to market.
Nice.
And we could zip through it. You know, we got a checklist. We got a standard operating procedure for everything we do, which is also good too. Like I said, beginning with the end in mind, if you want to make a great company, you know, the ingredients, like I said, that stuff, it's arbitrary, but whether you got this much citrulline in it, or maybe it's a low stimulant or no stimulant fatman or whatever it might be, someone can recreate it.
Yeah.
But if your marketing's there, the integrity of the brand is there, and your goal is to potentially sell that company, doing those things too in the beginning. You know, like, what's the process of manufacturing? What's your label process? Who looks through it? What's the second set of, you know, laying out that stuff. And it's, like I said, it's not sexy. It's not fun. It actually sucks to do. But if you do this stuff in the beginning, all the other steps are better, as opposed to just running to get this product out there. It helps, and other companies will definitely, and it allows you to kind of you get to take a step back and see things laying out in front of you, as opposed to kind of fixing them as you go.
Yeah.
You know, like, oops, let's go back and fix that. Let's go back and fix that time. And it can also be very costly financially.
I could only imagine. There's something I'm real interested about. I want to say this is maybe a year or so ago now. You guys had gotten into bodybuilding.com, and it makes me think, so, you know, somebody comes out with a great product, and, you know, it's got a nice label that it does what it's supposed to do. People are going to love this thing. But if you don't get it to the attention of people, then they'll never know about it. And I mean, that's just like anything. I mean, podcasts are the same thing. I believe in the work we do at Advices Radio and Bodybuilding Nerds, but if I don't get it out there to the people, we have people come to us every day and say, hey, I never knew about this. You know, the important thing is getting it where it needs to be. Can you talk about that whole process? Because, you know, we talked about the manufacturing and the creating. We talked about, you know, the customer service aspect and the order fulfillment. What about this end, where you're actually working with other companies that can help you distribute this? How important is that to your business and its growth?
That's a great question. And it is important. I would say what's more important than that is your marketing. You know, we got into bodybuilding.com through some relationships, which worked out great, and it gave us a cool channel, helped us from a marketing standpoint.
Sure.
And a kind of like a brand legitimacy standpoint to say, like, hey, we're here. Because they have a pretty tough process. It's a supplement hut down the road, does not have a labels and get sure that you're, you know, at a GMP manufacturer. They're not checking that stuff. So when you're going through with someone like a bodybuilding.com, they're a beast. They're obviously a great company and a behemoth, and probably even more of a marketing company than a supplement company anymore, or a fitness company anymore. Because they've helped bring a lot of brands out. They've helped build a lot of brands through their platform and channel. And, you know, they're kind of like a, you know, people forget sometimes about the body space side of it, where it's, I mean, it's like a Facebook for fitness. I was actually on there before I had a Facebook account. I had a bodybuilding.com account. I
really?
I do a lot of stuff on there. Yeah, I do a lot of stuff on there. And I probably, in hindsight, should have stayed on it and stayed active because, you know, I was on there early 2007, like 10 years ago. And then kind of, you know, Facebook, I got on that and kind of shifted away from it. But there's a lot of good content, stuff like that on bodybuilding.com. And it's a good place to, it's a destination. They did a great job. Mm. And then also they have a ton of products to sell. So
yeah,
they're massive. And getting in there is good. But the other places, you know, I have a lot of friends in food, drug, mass, you know, and a lot of people don't even know what that is. But that's, you know, getting into your Meijer, your Walmart, your Whole Foods, things like that.
Oh, wow.
And you have to have, I mean, like a major marketing plan to do it. And then you have to also take a step back, like I said, and beginning with the end in mind. And there's some serious manpower required, you know, and there's a lot of there's a lot more moving parts to get it on the shelf than just, you know, getting it on the shelf. And, you know, they want to, you know, seeing your sales and seeing what you can do and your fulfillment and how fast you do orders and stuff like that. And that's why you don't see tons of supplement companies out there. There's just usually a handful that go to food, drug, mass. But you know, you have to figure out with depending on what your product is, where's your market go to, you know. And I would say one regret with us is we didn't go to Amazon right away because we wanted the cool, sexy sports nutrition space with the photo shoots and Instagram and the posts, and it just is cool, right?
And
that's kind of what we wanted. And what we realized is that the fitness industry, I'll say bodybuilding industry, is not necessarily our demographic. They're not super into low stimulant weight loss products. They're not into low stimulant pre-workouts.
Yeah,
there's a few people, but not majority. And so going to Amazon, which is more of a mainstream marketplace, we're really catching fire.
Nice.
Because that's where people shop. In that space with advertising, you can do all the same stuff you can do with Google, and you just get with the right people to do that, and figuring out that's your best spot. International, we're starting to get even more buzz. Different places and places in the Middle East. We do a lot in Latin America. We're working on a pretty large deal in like Mexico, for example, for weight loss with doctors. Actually getting our product prescribed to patients. There's so many different channels. I mean, the military, you can get in there, massive. There's so many opportunities out there. Like I said, and it's just where you want to be. You know what I mean? What's your goal? And I think having those conversations with some people that have done it and have, you know, gone in certain directions, and, you know, this product, this concept might be good in this place. And this product might be good in a totally different space. So if you flip flop them, you're going to chase your tail for years.
And that makes sense to me.
Lose your tail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it really depends. There is no blanket path to do it, but there is a few common things that you want to follow.
So, you know what, I kind of, just out of my own curiosity, you know, I want everybody out there to know, you know, I had met Adam. He was already competing at the time. I had just gotten into competing, maybe had done my first show or so. And, you know, we had mutual friends, and I saw Adam get into great shape. Saw him go to junior nationals and stuff. And you had a really nice physique, man. I'm curious though, what do you do now for fitness? What are your current personal goals with training and such?
You know, and thank you for, you know, I put a lot of hard effort into the bodybuilding stuff, and it was fun, but now it's just that I want to be fit. I'll be 38 this year.
Okay.
And like from a ego standpoint, I like to kind of be the, the fit soccer dad standing around on the sideline, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's, I just always want to look good and feel good. And I should, right? Because I preach it, you know. Yeah. I have a book coming out, which ideally ties into health. My supplement company, the hormone replacement therapy clinic, like that's what I live and breathe is health. I mean, to the, what I feed my kids, you know, what I feed myself. And so, for me, it's really looking the part and feeling the part.
That's cool.
That book will probably not be out till, I would say, towards the end of next year. I have a book right now that's coming out in about 6 weeks.
Okay.
And that's called Better Than the Binge. And it's a helpful book from a health standpoint, too. It's overcoming the social obligation of alcohol.
Hmm.
So what that book outlines is just basically bringing awareness to alcohol and how we consume it. And, you know, it doesn't resonate as much with people in the fitness industry, but it kind of can in this, because, you know, if you're like, you know, getting ready for a competition, you better not be drinking.
Sure.
Right? Bottom line, if you're trying to get bigger, no drinking. I can tell you how many friends are like, well, I had a couple beers on Friday, but you can't
derail everything.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just slow it down. You're crawling. You can't even run, you know? So from what the alcohol can do, the book is more of a bigger picture, just general, you know, people and how they consume alcohol and why they do it when they do it. And so it's an exciting thing for me. It's something I'm passionate about. I don't drink. I quit drinking back in September. I used to. I used to work in nightclubs and party and do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And removing alcohol kind of really opened up a ton of opportunity for me, personally, physically, those kind of things. Even, you know, like I said, you tie it into the fitness stuff, the empty calories and those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
And just the negative effects alcohol has on the body and the brain and things like that. So that book is coming out, should be October.
Tell me about Size Slim. I know you can go to sizeslim.com and, you know, plug all that for me and let me know and let everybody else know too about New Era and how they can reach out to any of these places.
Yeah. So Size Slim's doing great. We have the websites being redone. We have a great group that we've partnered with, who I'll just say have taken a couple different brands in the fitness industry to mega brands.
Nice.
They've shown an interest in Size Slim. They've kind of come on board with us to help build some of the, I guess we'll call it the more sexy stuff. So that part's exciting. Everything's going great with Size Slim. We're the platform's been laid, the foundation's strong. You know, our purpose is lined up and the brand's growing. You can go to the website, sizeslim.com, to pick up, try the products. You can, you know, we'll even do, we send out free grab and goes. So we have like individual serving, stick packs.
Oh,
they're great. Just dumping in a bottle of water. You can go to the website and request those. We'll
nice.
Send them out to you to try. We still have our focus product, that we also are sending out some individual packs for that. That's
cool.
Never been a that. I'll tell you, the product, it's cool, it's awesome, but it doesn't fit the sports nutrition space as much. You know, it was kind of going in different directions. So I would say, and if you want to do a focus product, just do it that. Just make that your only thing. If you want to do, you know, certain things that aren't related to sports nutrition, just stay in those channels.
Interesting.
Side note. And then New Era HRT Group. You can email me. We work with folks over 30. It's usually the only caveat with some people as far as checking out their hormones and seeing where we can provide value and help there and guidance to our doctors.
Right on.
And they can email me at adam@newera-hg.com.
Okay.
And we'd love to have some people come try some Size Slim. We'll send them out some care package and look to hear feedback hopefully from them. And if I can help anyone with any questions or tips or introductions to any good people in the supplement industry, they can email me adam@sizeslim.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your time, Adam. You know, I know you just moved down to Texas and, you know, you're still unpacking the boxes as we speak. So, you know, especially with all that, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and kind of explain a little bit about your story and where you've come from. Because I feel like it's a great story. And it's really cool to me to see somebody who's been successful, too, that I've come up with. And watch them grow and to continue to grow. So I'm enjoying following along with your process, man.
Thanks, Scott. You know, I appreciate your support and you as a person. You're always a pleasure to talk to.
Ah, well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Adam Lamb of Size Slim.
Have a great day.
I don't mind you hanging out and talking in your sleep. Doesn't matter where you've been, as long as it was deep, yeah. You always knew to wear it well. It looks so fancy, I can tell. I don't mind you hanging out and talking in your...
Advices Radio Network.